Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah?
We've got a sponsor this season. How exciting.
It's brilliant. But the main thing is this is a sponsor that really is everything that we're about, right? You've had first-hand experience.
I have indeed. Fiona Lam was introduced to me 2 years ago. She helped me open my mind through hypnotherapy to find a relationship, and she's helped she's changed my life, and she's brought out a brand new mind detox app which helps you meditate, and I couldn't be prouder and happier to have it on board.
Oh, it's a perfect fit.
And if you want to download that app, you can go onto the App Store and Google Play. It's called Mind Detox, and the values are in line with us. It's happiness, love, and fun. Check it out.
I'm going to go, am I?
You started.
Hello.
Then. Go on.
We're in. This is it. This is series two. We're up and running.
I am absolutely and I'm thoroughly excited. Really excited. Series 2, The Naked Professors. Ben and Matt Johnson are back. I'm Matt Johnson, by the way.
People know that by now.
And I do now as well.
Yes, you do. Wow.
I do.
Wait, can you explain what you mean by that, please?
Yes, I will, actually. I've recently been through a period of my life where I've felt my beliefs, if that makes any sense. I took your advice and I went away and I went on the retreat that we've talked about before, and I had a realization that all these beliefs that I had, all these feelings and emotions, I've been on this podcast saying, yes, you need to be truly yourself, you need to be authentic, and I've said those words and I believe those words, but I've never truly felt those words. And to kind of compartmentalize and to really have validation of my own thoughts and a way of expressing it, I've found meditation, I've found yoga, and I'm up at 6 every morning. I've kicked the booze, and I've put out boundaries and barriers, and I've said no to certain people and parts of my life that didn't serve me. And I feel like I'm on the right path again, which is such a wonderful feeling.
Was it fair to say that you knew a lot of things, and you were a lot of things you were embodying, but perhaps you thought you were embodying a lot of them, but perhaps the retreat showed you that there was more to go?
Yes.
Is that fair?
Yes. There was a deeper level of understanding for me to understand of myself,
yeah.
Who I am, why I'm here, my purpose, my wants and need as a man. All of these things were right in front of me, and it was a wonderful process. I will say that it's changed me, and only for the better, I hope. You know, I think one of the weird things was that I went there to kind of try. I've always been trying to get the confidence to use my voice and to kind of peacock or show or whatever it is to get to places and to tell my story and to help people, I feel. And weirdly, I lost my voice on the retreat, and it's only just coming back now. So it does sound very cliche and like a line from a Disney movie, but to go somewhere to try and find my voice, I ended up losing it to realize how important my voice was.
Maybe that was it, right?
That was it.
You lost it and a new one arrived.
And yeah, and I feel as if I've started from zero with my voice and training it, and it's been my tool for years, and I've neglected it. I've smoked, I've drunk red wine and coffee every day. I shout and I don't do breathing. I don't warm up my voice. It's my tool. It's my job. It's been my job for 20 years and I've paid no respect to it, my body. Whereas in the last 10 years, I've really concentrated on above my neck, And I've neglected everything else. And I've realized they're all one. It's all one thing, myself, my essence, my true me, all of those. All of those parts need to be working in a reasonable and well-oiled order. So that comes with self-respect and pride. So, yeah, I'm checking in.
This is a pretty big intro to series
two. It really
is. We don't really prepare too much for podcasts.
We don't at all.
One thing we said is, well, why don't we? We'll talk about the retreat a little bit more into the.
Yeah, we went straight into it.
Good, no preparation from us.
I think it just
comes up, right? And that's how we always do these. And I think this is how we always will do it, isn't it? Well, the conversations will flow and they'll go where they're meant to go.
Yes. And like life.
It was exactly.
Yeah.
And the universe told us we had to have that conversation first up.
I think so. And I think it's important. It was important to me. I feel like I'm going into series two up a level.
Look out, series two.
Series two up a level of an understanding. So and one of the things I would like to do with you, and I'm very excited about it, on this retreat, and I've read loads about it more now, is when people sit in a circle and you go into a new situation to either discuss ideas, have food or something, whatever it is, do a podcast. I'd like to check in with you if that makes sense to you.
And I've done the retreat as well, as you know, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's just really, it's a really lovely way to start a conversation because you get a feel for where someone is.
Yes.
Straight up in a really simple way. And yeah, so we're going to check in with three words.
Words.
Is that right? And then we're going to do it with our guests.
With our guests.
Nice. I think we can do a check-in and a check-out, right?
Yes, definitely. Maybe a three-word check-in, one-word check-out, or see how it goes.
Yeah, nice. Okay. Yeah. So you're going to check in?
Yeah, I'm going to check in.
Okay.
And this is how I feel right now.
Yeah.
This might change in an hour or whatever, you know. Yeah. It's constantly evolving.
Okay.
So I'm going to check in with happiness, pride, and I feel very calm here. I'm feeling very calm, like I'm at home. So happiness, pride, and a calmness about myself.
Calm?
Calm. So I'm in.
Happy days. And are we going to go aho?
Do you want to? I don't know if
anyone else going to know what we're on about?
I don't know, but wait, maybe if we keep doing it, people will understand.
Maybe it'll happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we just do that aho thing?
Aho.
Aho. I love it. I really love it because it makes me. I don't know what it does. It's like a bang on the desk. Like I agree. I'm in. You're in.
Do you remember where it comes from? Was it some kind of tribal sort of agreement or something? Isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know what the direct translation is, but it's like if you said something like, you know, I believe that the future of the next revolution is compassion.
Mm.
I could say, aho.
Yeah, it's like agreement,
with you.
Isn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
It's I hear you, isn't it?
Kind of.
We should say as well, this was the retreat that you did with Craig White, who was on he's on the podcast series one. So if people are interested in knowing more, they can listen to Craig as well.
Craig's podcast. It's the Men Without Masks retreat. I am pleased that we've both been on it now.
Yeah, yeah, because you both know it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain.
Yeah. And we won't go too much into it because it's something you need to be there and feel yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if there's any endorsement, hopefully we can be it or whatever it is. I don't know what that is, but what are you checking in with?
I'm checking in with definite excitement, a kind of tingling feeling.
Yeah.
And energy.
Energy.
Mm.
You're energized.
Mm. Yeah.
Is it because of this?
Yeah,
this
sitting in here.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
Back at it.
Yeah, and I also feel energized by life at the moment, which is cheesy and a cliche, but I feel very lucky and fortunate with lots going on, and I just feel in a really lovely place. So, I feel energized. Although, contrary to that, I'm also feeling sleep deprived and pretty tired. I'm excited about where I am, but I could do with getting a bit more sleep. That's something to work on. But should we introduce where we're along? Yes, thank you. Because series two, we're focusing on masculinity, aren't we?
Yes.
And we've pre-recorded a few with some amazing men. And we've got some amazing men lined up. And we're looking to is it fair to say in series one, we noticed that some of the most powerful episodes we had were with men who just spoke from a slightly different, more vulnerable space without necessarily meaning to, but they just shared their heart a bit more with us when we weren't expecting it.
Yes.
You know, I remember the first one we did with Jim Hamilton, and we really weren't necessarily knowing where he was going to come from or what to expect.
Yeah.
And he came in and just opened his heart and showed us himself.
It was a special moment.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so I think now we're hoping to take that, use that as a lead and move forward with it.
There's a part of me as well that when you look back on the first series, it's predominantly women. And it's only a little tiny amount of men. And I think that is a possible true straw poll reflection of how society works about being vulnerable and opening up about mental health. And I found that very interesting because it wasn't without trying. We did try and get lots of guys on, and lots of guys said yes, but whether they came on or not was a different story. And and the statistics show it's 86 people a week, 86 men a week are taking their own lives. It's the biggest killer of young men in the UK, suicide, mental health issues. And if we look at it, like in 1945, the biggest killer of young British men were Nazi bullets. And how desperate did we want to stop that? And that was an incredible world issue, and rightly so. And we look at the situation we're in now, where the biggest killer of young men of a certain young age, is, I think it's 18 to 40, is suicide. We need to do something about it. So hopefully we can do that in the second series. Get the right men, get people from different walks of life, different ethnicity, beliefs, whatever it is, if they have a story and they can help change people, I believe that is that could be our purpose, Ben.
I think it is our purpose, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel it's right. And it's so topical right now. You know, it's come alive in the last few years, hasn't it? I think social media has all sorts of roles. But one thing it has done, I think, is highlight the fact that these suicide rates and how prevalent it is in men in particular.
Mm.
And yeah, so it's highly topical. And I think, you know, to follow on from what you said, I was at a talk. Last Saturday, called the Self Love Summit, all about self love. It was a space of 500, and there were 497 women and 3 men, me included as one.
Wow.
And I was one of the speakers. And that's kind of testament to, I mean, it was geared at women, don't get me wrong, so it's not a totally fair reflection, but women are much more alive to this stuff. And for men, it's the concept of growth and change and personal development. And to me, what it says to a lot of men is, that means I'm not perfect. I'm not, or I've got weakness. If I want to change, if I'm admitting that I need to work with someone, or I want to develop my mind, it means it's not good in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So the perception is, if you say I'm working with a coach or a counsellor or a therapist or whatever, the natural reaction is, what's wrong with you?
Yes.
And the fact is that there's growth for all of us. And if we're not willing to be vulnerable enough to admit that we're not perfect, we're never going to work with anyone. We're going to stay stuck in our space. And I think it's staying stuck there, not talking about it, burying it, becomes such a huge issue.
You're absolutely right. And I feel talking to men when we do our events or we just meet men in general, I think my general consensus of what I always hear is that all of a sudden I'm toxic. Like, this toxic masculinity is really, you know, taking a hold and a hold on social media and with men, and men having a purpose and feeling being made to feel guilty about being a man. And I think that hopefully we can help kind of de-blur those lines, if you know what I mean. So, like what you said then, a man is afraid to be vulnerable, and they're afraid to even say the word vulnerable, because we've talked about this before. They see it as a fragility, whereas in honesty, it's truth and transparency and just showing a depth to you, which is, you know, you go back to the warriors of Asia and haiku, and all warriors had to be vulnerable and poetic and lovers at the same time in tribal times in, you know, Northern America. You look at these tribes and they all explore these avenues, and what it is to be a man is very, very topical at the moment. And as you said, people are afraid to be vulnerable because of the influences they've had throughout their lives, the negative influences, positive influences. Their role models have been put on pedestals, and they've you can't have any failures. These superheroes, these wrestling in my history, these wrestling superstars like the Ultimate Warrior, they were massive and aggressive and loud, and they weren't on the surface vulnerable, and you've got movie stars and football heroes and rugby heroes, boxing heroes, and the reality of it is, as you'll find throughout this rest of the series, these heroes, they've used vulnerability to get where they are, is possibly their greatest strength. And I think that's the disconnect. That's where we can hopefully come in and raise awareness for men and go, guys, it's all right, you know, we're on your side here.
Totally.
We can go to people and help them reestablish what it is to be a man, because I think we can be misguided, you know.
I think we have been misguided. You know, I go back to what masculinity looked like to me as a child, subconsciously, just what I saw, and, you know, there weren't lessons in this, but what I saw from society. And I always say this, but what society showed me was that I had to be big, strong, tough, brave, and with all that, on the contrary, not emotional, because emotional was almost the opposite of that. I mean, you were soft, weak, and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And it mattered, you know, I had to embody this masculine energy of all those things, strength and toughness, and, you know, appearing to be a leader and never being sad or any of that stuff. And that's what I perceived as being masculine, and if I wanted to thrive as a man, that's what I needed to be.
Yes,
you know, from a young age, and I put on a mask to try and do that. I don't mean that dramatically. You know, it's not like I was going through a breakdown at a young age, I was just following the path that society does. That I think so many men do. You know, I'm not saying I'm different to everyone. I think this is what we all do as men, and fundamentally, for me, I believe just because we're men, our human instincts are linked back to kindness, compassion, love, empathy, all these natural, you know, that's in our heart and soul.
A balance, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think the way we saw it is that we just saw these masculine characteristics that were just about the toughness and the bravery, and we missed the human instinct.
Mm.
And we went all in on masculinity.
Yeah.
And that comes at a cost, because I think when we deprive our emotions, we deprive our sensitivity and love and kindness for other human beings, we're depriving a whole aspect of our personality, and that hurts our soul.
Well, you're suppressing that natural instinct, isn't that? You're not born without compassion and kindness and love.
Exactly.
You suppress it. Whenever you suppress any emotion, it comes out in different areas. And I've been a part of that. I don't know if you were trying to be the stronger, tougher, more muscular guy for female attention or to fit in with male.
Both.
Both. My history of suppression is I've put back my masculine side because I've gone, what? Girls like it when you talk to them and you talk about feelings. I'll do that. Well, I'll play guitar then. They loved all that when I was in school. I'll do that. I'll go into telly. Oh, they love all that. And it was a lot of it was to, and I distanced myself from guys and being in my pack with my teammates because I was the guy that was more effeminate, would talk to girls more often because I would, you know, not be the perceived man, masculine man. So I suppressed my manliness, which I think a lot of men do as well. You should have emotions, you should have feelings, you should sit down and watch telly, you should do the cooking and the cleaning as well as men. And I've gone, yep, okay, I'll do all of that. But I've forgotten that actually being a man for me and having that manly energy is to say, I have got this energy and I'd like to express it. And if I suppress it, I'm going to express it in a really passive-aggressive way to people I care about. And I actually, even worse than that, Ben, I take it out on myself.
Yeah.
Which is what I've done.
Yeah.
For a lot of my life.
Can you elaborate on that? How did you take it out on yourself?
Alcohol and punishing myself with words in my head. It fits in simply, and I've done it in the last 6 months. I haven't put boundaries. I haven't used my male energy to say no to people. And I've said yes. I've made promises I can't keep, and I can't keep them. I stress myself out. I haven't put up boundaries saying, no, I will work on that tomorrow, not today. Today I'm doing three other jobs, so I'm going to put my boundaries out there. I haven't done that, so I've suppressed that energy, taken it out on myself, so I'm unhappy with my situation, scrambling around feeling like I'm not fulfilling or living up to my promises. And then it's easier to kind of suppress whatever that pain is or hurt or disappointment with alcohol. And then because I'm suppressing that energy, I'm being chippy to my girlfriend. I am being just a bit grumpy because I'm just suppressing some element of my being. And then when I've done that and I'm not happy with myself, I torture myself in my mind and I say I'm not good enough, I'm an idiot and you should be better. Maybe you should, why can't you do all of these things at once? You should try harder, be better. And why did you get drunk last night? You eat two bottles of wine on the floor in the morning and that makes me feel terrible. And it's this vicious cycle. And I think that's a true reflection of, I think, another demographic of men who are trying their best to abide and to be make everybody happy, but forgetting their natural essence of having this energy and this power to go, oh, yeah, I can, I need to let rip of let release this energy, but I'm not going to go and call the referee at the football of Seaward for 90 minutes or shout at my missus or shout at my dog and be aggressive. It's coming out in all negative ways. I need to put that energy into something really positive, which is what I've personally like done. And it's quite simple. I've put up boundaries and I've been honest. I've not answered straight away in meetings. I've digested it and then come forward with a thoughtful answer. And I've given myself some self-discipline, been kinder to myself. And for me, that's really helped. And it's the small movements you make in the right direction. And particularly 10 years ago, I think that was the best example I could give. I got myself into such a people-pleasing part of my life where I just suppressed my creative passion, my love for performance and work in TV to appease, and because I let people trample on that, I got myself into such a state. I punished myself. I nearly took my own life, and I think that's what I've been working at. Why I was in that mode for 10 years, and I think honestly say, like when people say, "What have you got to be depressed about?" It's because I suppressed many of my true natural emotions, and I was unkind to myself as punishment. And the ultimate punishment was suicide. And that's a true story. That's my truth. And I believe there's men out there in that similar situation where they're suppressed in that raw energy. I don't even know if it's a masculine energy. It's just a warrior-like energy that I want to be in nature. I want to build things. I want to complete stuff. I want to say no to people. I want to move forward. And you can't have too much of that, of course, but you can have some of it. And a balance of that is important to me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So I haven't always been the best sleeper, but I'm certainly getting better, and meditation has been a big part of helping me become a better sleeper. We've got a great tool for it here, Matt.
Yeah, we do. The Mind Detox app with Fiona Lam has a special section for sleep, and I couldn't be happier for that, because I know full well how it feels to not sleep. I suffered from sleep deprivation disorder for many years, and I struggled heavily. So if you want to check that out, go to the App Store or on Google Play and check that out if you are struggling with your sleep at all.
You're right, not all of it is masculine. You know, some of these are natural human instincts. I think creativity, you know, things like, well, creativity, emotions, for example, at the very beginning, our natural human instincts that we all, our soul craves those things, and it craves that we become connected and attached to those things, and we express them. And if we on the contrary, if we suppress them, it's going to cause pain. And that's why, you know, when I look at a lot of men, without wanting to sound judgmental, who are burying this stuff, I know it causes pain.
Yes,
I know
it,
it's not a healthy way to live. And you can't, this is the thing, if I said that to myself 10 years ago when I did live in that space, I wasn't there to listen. So you can't, you know, and it wouldn't do you any good to walk around preaching these to people and telling them they need to start doing it, because you can't. And
of course,
they won't listen. But
like I said, you really got to feel it yourself.
Like, yeah,
I've been saying it for a while to myself, but recently I've genuinely felt that.
Yeah,
I had to really want to.
Yeah, but actually the big change, the massive change for me came when I've done a lot of these retreats, cause when I started really experiencing connection. Because in through my 20s and before that, I think people would you know, say, oh, it's important, emotions and whatever, I'd hear these little bits and it's like, no, it's just not me. I know, like, people say that, but I'm not for me, I don't want it. It makes me feel sick when I think about it, you know, these things. And then I went on retreats, or I did mindset courses and experiences where I was out of my comfort zone and people were vulnerable in front of me. And then I became vulnerable in front of them. And I experienced an entirely set of new emotions where I started to see people's heart for the first time, really, really, and really saw them. And I didn't see them just for what they were wearing and what job they did and everything else. I suddenly saw their heart. And it set off these emotions in me. I was like, wow, like, you're such a different person to what I thought. I like love what you what you're about, and I totally understand everything that, that you you know, everything I see in front of me now makes so much sense given everything you've just shared. And wow, I respect you as a person, and I just could listen to you forever. And I didn't have that before. And I think this is the thing with masculinity for so many men. They've never experienced it in the first place. They never really got connected. They never experienced the benefits of it. You don't so you're not really drawn to it because you don't know what you're missing out on. And they're living in that same space. So now, for me, having been through all this, and we touched on this off air actually a week ago or so, but for me, I really, having experienced connection, I now crave connection. And a lack of connection, or just a basic conversation without being rude or without any depth or substance, I mean, of course, they're going to happen still, but if someone is lacking that, I find it hard to really spend time with them. There's not, you know, and so I've really come full circle. From before being freaked out by spending time with someone who wanted to go there, to now only wanting to really go in those places.
It's an addictive drug, that feeling when you
connect.
Yeah.
And emotions are powerful.
And we live in a very disconnected world.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me weirdly yesterday in the gym. I said, well, can I ask a question? And she shouted, what's the meaning of life, is it? And I was like, and she asked me then what it was. And I was, and I straight off the bat, I just come from a boxing session, so I was like raw. And I was like, connection. And
nice.
And I was, and that maybe changed. And that's I've never had an answer before, but it just feels like with connection, there's no judgment. And I think the world is full of judgment at the moment. But when you see and feel a human or a group of people, and you feel as if you're a part of something because of that connection, you feel as if you're bonded, and something beyond the, and I will touch on this, that, you know, we create avatars for ourselves, don't we, because of society, this person I am, and you create, especially on social media, who you want to be. But when you see a real person for who they are, what is their thing? What's their truth? What do they really want? Who are they really? And when you, people, not often people know, and that's part of life, from finding out what that is, but when you connect and you go, this is who I am, who are you? And when you have that moment, even if that person reminds you of that guy that did your head in when you were 12 and you have that association with it, that judgment already there, it's gone. And it's an it's an incredible feeling, much better than any dopamine that a like on Instagram will get you. And it's much nicer than the nicest meal you'll ever taste. And it's much nicer than any pay rise you'll ever get. Trust me.
Totally,
I think, agree. when you've got that. My dad's obsessed with it now. I'm obsessed with it. I can't wait to sit in places, and I'm not afraid of the masks of people. I want to sit there and I want to be real. And it's, I think, as we talk about what the next revolution is, whatever it is, I think it's kindness, compassion, and connection.
I hope so.
Oh, fucking fingers crossed.
Because honestly, if there's times, there's days when I sit and we have these conversations and I'm like, oh, it's coming through, you know, you can really feel it. And I think to myself, I was so switched off. And if I've come here, if I've got to this place, then I've got hope for every single person. And I feel, you know, the world is going this way. And then there's other times when Trump comes in and, you know, we're going completely the opposite and life becomes a business again. And you're like, oh.
I've had a lot of thoughts about where the world is. Obviously, there's lots of negative parts and things I disagree with. But one thing that helped me get through 10 years ago, even 6 months ago a bit, was I always had a bit of hope. And that's sometimes, I don't know, faith, I don't know, I don't have faith. I don't know if I'm close to anything like any religion or any spirituality, but like hope is a massive thing. Because when you have that, there's a chance.
Definitely.
And I suppose this goes back to what we say about with men and, you know, there's reasons why there's, I can see clearly why men are taking their own lives en masse. And there's lots of different societal, economical, everything reasons. But, you know, if only we can tap into some people and just say there's a chance, there's an opportunity, because we're not people that have always thought like this. We've been through it to realize these things, and you know, and having a conversation. When people say it starts with a conversation, I actually think that's really true. It goes deeper than that. It's not like a surface. How's the rugby this weekend? And you know, did you see the football? It's a how are you? Checking in.
Yeah,
what's going on?
I think you're right. It does start a conversation, but I think there is a stage before that where it's like, let yourself have the conversation. Let yourself be seen. Let you share something. Share a truth that you haven't shared with someone before. But actually, people might think completely the opposite of you, and tell them, actually, I was petrified when I did that. And you think I'm so calm and strong and brave and all this. Actually, I was petrified then, but I just put on my mask and I had to do it at that moment. Because that's true, and that's no reflection of weakness or anything else. Because the more you learn of all this stuff, everyone's doing the same. We're all scared. Like our head is designed to do that. Our head is there to keep us safe, and getting out of our comfort zones is not safe. So we're all having the same conversations in our head. We've all got the mask on. At times, we have to just go, I've just got to do this. I'm going to have to do it because I know my soul craves it. It's going to be uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it. Let's be okay with that, and let's talk about it, and let people see you and see your real bravery. You were petrified. Start sharing those things, and let people really see you, and then connection exists in that form. Wow, you know, you're a different person to what I thought. I really see you now. I feel you. Before I could see all your success, but I didn't really know you, and now I'm getting you. Do you know, and that for me is when life comes alive, relationships come alive.
We see it all the time. How great was Anthony Joshua's fight against Klitschko when he got taken down on the canvas, and we thought that's probably it because he ran out of gas.
Yeah.
Then he came back and knocked him down twice. Yeah. Like that's life.
Yeah.
You know, how you get back up.
Yeah.
And seeing you on the floor and going, oh, I was on the floor and I thought that was it too.
Yeah.
And I got back up. Tyson Fury story. I liken it lots to boxing because there are lots of stories and ups and downs and journeys in boxing. Yeah. And our greatest hero, especially mine where I grew up, Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
He didn't win the first fight against Apollo Creed. He got battered. He kept coming back. He got knocked down and he was a draw. And he was the hero. He just walked away without a belt, without all the glory and no belt. Yeah. It wasn't about winning. It was about him getting back up and showing his true self and carrying on and being...
What does he say? It's not about how hard you hit, it's how hard you can get hit and still get back up.
That's the one. He says that in Rocky Balboa, the movie. Rocky 7.
right.
But it's classic line.
Yeah.
It's
and it's so true. That's what requires vulnerability.
Yeah. All of our heroes, and you go, oh my God, yeah, Hulk Hogan's perfect. You go, yeah, but he had to lose for you to really appreciate him winning.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. You know, the greatest football stories, Man United coming back from 1-0 down and 2-1 in the last few minutes. Great football, European football story. You know, life stories. You know, the path of my life has just been absolutely chaotic, but I wouldn't change it for the world.
No, it's like the great philosopher Joe Marler on our last series said. We laugh, but he came up with a great answer.
He's one of the. He's a special person.
He is. He came up with a great answer, didn't he? You know, yeah. And he didn't. He hadn't studied this, and I don't think it was scripted. But when he was when we asked what would he change, he sort of thought about it for a second and said, "You know what? I wouldn't change any of it because it's got to me to where I am. I've had to learn a lot of lessons. I had to do a lot of things wrong.
Yeah,
that have taught me they're wrong." And now I know, and now I'm better for them, and now I'm stronger, and I also know I survived those times as well. They happen again, I can still get back up. But if we don't try at all in the first place, if we sit in our comfort zone and we stay there and we sit still, then yeah, we're safe in that moment, but we're not inspired and our soul doesn't feel alive.
And I think that's what hurts me. When I see my brothers back in Wales or anywhere in the UK where men feel that they've got nothing, that they've been forgotten about. And in many cases, that's absolutely true, I believe. You know, politically, they have. And to think that there's millions of people out there feeling that they've got no option, that they've been forgotten about, they've got no chance, no hope, they've chosen the wrong path and it's too far gone, or they haven't had any opportunities, it breaks my heart.
Mm. But I think this is our purpose now, isn't it, with this series? I'm totally with you. But I think we have, because so many times we get questions, don't we, particularly from women, how can we make an impact? How can I get my man or my brother or my dad?
I had one yesterday.
Yeah, and there's no simple answer. And probably the answer I come to most is we need more role models who are talking about this, who can show men that it's okay to still have that masculine energy and to still be the strong, brave, tough guy and all the rest of it, the leader. But also, don't forget the kind, compassionate, the vulnerable side, the side that lets people see you, you know, the love, you know, sharing love, hugging, you know, all this stuff that's not unmanly, it's human. Yeah. And hopefully in the coming series, we've got some real amazing alpha men who are all that masculine energy and perceive that and are as tough as they come, but also come on here and share their heart and let us see their kind, empathetic side. I just love those men.
Yeah, and it needs to happen because... This is for humanity, you know. It's these guys. If we can get to some guys that realize that they're not toxic, they've been sold something, and it's not their fault. They were born into situations of belief, and you know, I've learned from you. I don't judge people. If I say something, and people disagree with it on social media, and they're mean or whatever it is, I don't blame them.
No,
I blame their path.
Yeah,
I blame. Well, I don't. It's actually, there's blame. No blame.
It's just the path they've been.
It's just that's the reality.
Yeah.
I believe a certain thing because of my path. They believe a different thing.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
Yeah.
If we can meet somewhere in the middle, and without judgment, that would be the perfect scenario. If we can get to certain guys that have been suppressing this animalistic macho man energy, and it's been coming out, and it's affected their relationships, and this is happening, you know, where there's no job or purpose or belonging or self-respect, and you bottle that up, I think some men can take it out on their girlfriends and wives or boyfriends, and only maybe we can, or people can, help them not do that. So by getting great role models of theirs to talk about their imperfections and vulnerabilities and this story, having a relatability to somebody that respects that person might help them realize that they're not to blame and they can be better, they can be happier and not suppress their emotions and feelings.
More fulfilled, I think, because I think a lot of them are happy. Fulfilled. They have their happy moments. And I know, you know, that's kind of the easy thing to do. Go and do something that makes you happy in a moment.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I think it's really
fulfillment.
Like, men are lacking fulfillment for me. You know, that deeper thing that really, there's always happiness. You can be happy but still empty.
Yeah.
Because something's making you happy in that moment. But fulfillment, it's like I'm happy with it for no reason.
Yeah.
And I think it's that's just a deep contentment with who you are. With, you know, something that you've really, I think, experienced post-retreat. You really got to know yourself. You've started to really embody, live deeply in tune with yourself. And that, then you become really proud of who you are. You love who you are. It's self-love for me. And I think that's just a massive thing. What sort of man do you want to be now? You know, you've gone on a path. Who are you now? What do you want to be?
I feel very confident in, I have this huge fatherly feeling running through me, like I, instead of being...
This is big news.
Yeah, yeah. Not to be, not biological.
Okay.
Is this not a I need to procreate feeling?
Yeah.
I feel like I have my reasons for that.
Yeah.
Which is another podcast for another day.
Yeah.
I'm in a situation where I can be a father-like figure and share that space with somebody.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be cool Uncle Matt, because I think that was a cop-out for me for years. I've got two nephews. I don't want to be cool Uncle Matt. That's the fun one all the time. I think I've got some real deep qualities of leadership that I could use there. And I feel that that father-like qualities, that self-respect and the taking away the shame of reading books and being smarter, or like I grew up in Wales, if you put your hand up and had the right answer, I think maybe this is the case everywhere, you would always be bullied or whatever it was for being clever. And I've got no fear of obtaining new knowledge in any subject and sharing that. There's real new leadership, self-respect qualities that I have.
And growth, it sounds like. You're happy to grow as a man.
I really want to step into this. I'm 36, step into this leadership, more mature me.
Wow.
You know, but still happy with, I'm a silly Billy. You know, I'm a silly sausage at times. And
a silly, stupid leader.
And I don't feel like, oh, when I put my suit on, I'm a leader. I'm going to give a speech at the RSPCA, what, I'm a leader. Or,
yeah.
You know, I was at Parliament yesterday and that's nothing to do. I can wear trainers. I don't need my external being. I learned as well recently that I don't want to ever call myself in the third person, because I've been told that's a really egotistical thing to say. But I see like the sideburns and the haircut and the accent and my name and everything that was given to me. Like, it's part of my thing, whatever it is, but it's not actually me. I'm working out who I am. And that is what's been really interesting. I can see myself in a third person and go, well, I hate saying it still, Matt is this, but he needs a bit of work here and there. I'm going to lead Matt into the right directions and get him to be where he wants to be, follow his goals. And I think that is, for me personally, to step into a more mature me is being, saying no to people and saying, I've only got space for this because I need to be more creative, which is with music. I left school to be a musician and for some reason I just pushed that down because of life or relationships.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing it.
I want to express myself, tell my story. We've discussed how we tell our stories, and I've always had problems with actual writing on cue. Sometimes it spills out and sometimes I can't, you know, I can feel quite anxious about expressing myself through language and words vocally. Yes, I can do so. I'm exploring that side, how I tell my story, how I help people through my I'm going to say them. I'm not going to be a cocky git, but the gifts I have of communication and sometimes singing, I'm going to combine that. I'm going to step into it and I'm going to own it. I'm excited about it, yeah.
Awesome.
What about you?
It's just about balance for me. You know, I want to be a lot of those stereotypical masculine energies that I talk about. You know, that's part of me. But I'm still on a journey to keep embracing those emotions, keep connecting deeper, loving. You know, I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to love my kids, my wife deeply. I want us to be a team. I want them to be my world. Mm. But I want to go out there and lead as well. And I want to go to the gym and I want to smash weights and I want to banter with my mates and joke with them and you know, sometimes go on a boy's trip and it's just boy energy and you're stupid and you do stupid things that you're probably not proud of, but it's fun for a moment.
No, you're not hurting anybody.
It's not hurting anyone. Yeah. It's just a different side of you. You're playing with yourself for a bit. It's not, you know, I'm not doing it all the time, but occasionally just letting out that energy.
Yeah.
And then coming back to myself and fundamentally trying to make myself proud. You know, that's always my goal. And I know if I want to be married with the kids and love my family, and that's what makes me proud, then I've got to really embrace emotions. That was a big part of my journey. I'm not going to be a great husband, great dad if I couldn't be emotional. So that was a big part of my work. But I want, that's who I want to be. It's a balance. You know, I want to be a lot of that stereotypical masculine energy, but I also want all the feminine energy too.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm excited about, the fact that I've entered into more of the feminine space in recent years.
Yeah.
And it's being celebrated. That's where I feel so lucky, because I'm able to express it and people saying it's lovely.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, I've buried that for so long.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was awful.
Want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a really liberating experience for me. And I'm just excited about keep entering more and more into that space. And, you know, hopefully there's a family in line for me at some point. And that I feel that's my path, and I'm excited about it, like you.
Well, if you're ever looking for a godfather,
do you know one?
Maybe. it's exciting times, Ben. I really feel the second series is going to be something special.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'm excited too. Should we do a checkout?
Yes.
Have we done enough? I feel like we've done.
If we can get half an hour, that'll be great. We're just under an hour.
Oh, God.
We can talk for Wales and England.
For the Lions.
Yeah. thank you for listening. If you've got this far, we really do appreciate it. And we've got a wonderful series coming up. And hopefully that can help. Please pass these podcasts on to people that you feel could be helped by what we've been saying. We're very excited. We're going to have some fun as well, and we're going to get into it, and we're going to really expand. We've got some other things that we're cooking up, which is really, really brilliant, and we couldn't be more happy. So I'm going to check out with... I can do three words.
Okay. One's not enough.
Three sentences. I'm going to check out with excitement. I've got that buzzy feeling that you said earlier. I'm tingling, like I've just come out of the gym or something. All the blood is pumping through my body, like I'm just energized. So I'm excited, I'm energized, and I'm focused.
That's big.
Yeah.
It's powerful, I love it. I am going to check out with excitement, still energy. And there's definite nerves still, because I just don't know what's coming.
And that's okay.
It's going to challenge my ego, yeah, for sure.
Letting go.
For sure, yeah. No expectations, enjoy the ride, and off we go, and let's see what happens.
Take the pressure off.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go down that slalom ride together, brother.
We're doing it.
Yeah. Aho! I think we'll drop the aho. Right?
No, I like it.
My dad does it. Aho! It's not unusual.
We'll know we've made it when someone comes up to us in the street and says aho.
Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
And by the way, this is coming from the Craig White retreat, so I don't. Yeah. He's not copyrighted. Checking in and checking out.
Bring it on, but, Craig. You are.
We'll take it to court, mate. I'm very grateful for that. I think it's a nice way, because we'll ask guests, how do you feel right now?
Yeah.
Like right now.
Yeah.
Like, come on, sit in it. And I don't care if it's silent for a bit. No. Really sit into it. And I've done it a few times at dinner parties or like at a barbecue a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it really gets people going. And it's vulnerability. And then you shake it off and you're like, wait.
Yeah.
Everybody talks a lot better. It's a wonderful thing. So try it at home.
Yeah. Check
Let
in.
Us know how it goes.
Check in with your husband, your wife.
Yeah.
Your kids. Yeah. Okay. Have we got, and do we need to do anything else?
Subscribe, like,
okay,
comment.
Yeah. Yes.
Follow us on the TMP podcast. Oh, we've changed, haven't we?
Bollocks. The Naked Professor Naked Professors _ podcast.
That's the one.
Yeah. Okay.
Just follow us on there.
Yeah. We need to post some pictures.
On Twitter as well. We need to, that's a goal. We need to get better on social media.
We'll do something on it in a minute.
Let's do a selfie now or something.
Yeah. And that's it, isn't it? Welcome back to Series 2. Thanks for following us.
Yeah.
We're really appreciative of it.
Yeah.
And I hope you enjoy the ride with us.
Aho.
Aho.
Do you ever suffer from panic attacks or have anxiety? And those are the questions that I feel a lot of people across the UK and across the world could answer yes to at the moment, couldn't they?
Anxiety was a big one for me, for sure. And I just didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to help myself. I didn't know why it was there. And the Mind Detox app that is our sponsor now has got a free panic attack and anxiety meditation, guided meditation that will really help you understand that and change your state for the better.
I think if you haven't tried this already, go onto the App Store, go onto Google Play and check it out. It's called the Mind Detox app. And like me and Ben would say, it's helped us, and we hope it can help you too.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.